All right. I'm feeling all the emotions today.
Yeah.
Like, I just, if the air were different colored pencils, I feel like all of them would be coloring me right now with all the emotions of the rainbow.
Oh. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, but let's discover it and talk about it during our podcast. Also, thank you to Corona Beer for making this happen. Make sure to find your beach. Let's do some emotion, shall we?
Your life has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, daily.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Look at it. It's a hump day.
Hump day.
At the end of the world.
Mike.
End of the world.
Mike.
My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty.
I feel like every day, I don't know what emotion I'm about to fall into each day. Mm. Like every day, there's something a little bit new that I feel like I'm dealing with. Mm. And I, in just the span of like an hour, I can go from like, oh, what's going to happen to the world? To I just get crazy and just start yelling out random things.
Feel that.
Yeah.
Or then 1 minute you'll see something on Instagram or on social media that'll just make you sad. And you're like, what is going on?
Or you see a cute video of animals and you're like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Or you see a little platypus and you're like,
platypus.
Yes. So Holly, how are you doing? It's the middle of the week. We are... How many weeks are we into this now?
Oh, Lord. Who said?
Let's see here.
I'm marking. What are we using to mark the crazy beginning? I say the 13th of March.
Yeah. That was that Friday the 13th.
Yes.
And that's when, like, we woke up and Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson had revealed they had COVID-19. We found out the NBA was canceling their season and things started to,
all
like, really.
All the schools were like, well.
We're done. Because we were supposed to take off work that Monday, the 16th.
Yeah.
And so I would say like that Monday is when it really started. So
that was like the first week of social isolation.
Three. Yeah, this is the fourth week.
Okay.
The fourth week we're going on it right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And it seems like a long time, but at the same time it doesn't as well.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's gone quickly because so much has happened in the past 4.5 weeks.
It's true. I mean, it seemed like we were getting updates hourly at first, and now the updates are slower, which is to be expected, and it's just like hold strong with what you're doing. I'm good. I had some stress this week about, and we talked about this on the show, whether or not I was sending my daughter to her father's house this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I am. So that was stressful. But overall, today in this moment, I feel okay.
Mm. Scott?
Right now, I feel like I went through like a couple waves this morning, but right now I'm pretty good. In this very moment.
What's hitting you down like the bad wave?
I don't know. Today I definitely didn't know because I just, out of nowhere, I was like, and I'm like, gosh, dang it. And now I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then I get frustrated because I'm like, this stupid downwave. I don't like being in a downwave.
Yeah.
But then, like right now, I'm like, oh, cool. I feel lighter. But then I just feel like it's heavy,
You know, I feel like I'm in the best headspace when we're actually talking on the radio because I'm not thinking about, you know, 80,000 people dying or, you know, I'm afraid to go to the grocery store this week because they keep saying this is going to be our Pearl Harbor, our 9/11. And so I'm into the grocery store. So I've just been going from work to home, just like I'm sure if you're listening, you've probably been stuck at home for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I just, it's been a challenge. And so I understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of going through it, but I was just wondering, like, for me, like, I'm trying to find these things that are kind of keeping my mood up, like, and, like, kind of reverse the question. Like, right now I'm on a good, and I keep thinking about one thing. It's like, I know, like, today, like, my mom's on vacation. So, like, for me, my mom goes on vacation for the, like, rest of this week and half of next week. Mm. So that's, like, something I'm, like, grateful for that keeps a smile on my face because she's someone I don't want going to work and being at risk and on the front lines because she works at a bank where it's just, like, you're just handling money from who knows who touched that money.
Yeah.
And I would hate for my mom to get it because that would be just horrible. So that's like my gratitude right now. But like, you know, today I'm like, all right, you know what? whatever I'm feeling, like, I'm grateful, like, that's happening because I know she's all right.
Focusing on the positive.
Yes.
Okay. I like that. I mean, it's simple. It seems simple.
It does, but it's very difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
And you know because you're struggling to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, and I feel like, now I feel like I'm repeating yesterday's podcast. I feel like I'm in a weird space right now where I don't really know what day it is. Maybe that's what I'm feeling. Like,
it's
I feel
Sunday.
Good. No.
It's Sunday, Helen.
Don't say that.
Don't say it. Everyone's going to be like, what?
Because I'll be like, oh, shit, Easter.
Where's the ham?
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, I feel like I'm repeating yesterday, but it's like when you are going through a trauma, and this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I just want to make it clear. I'm going to keep repeating it until everybody understands that we will have PTSD from this.
Yeah.
That's what happens with PTSD. You go in like waves, and sometimes something can trigger you, and it's called a flashback, and it's not maybe not happening to that extent now, but I feel like it may in the future. When you suddenly feel just terrible and you're like, oh, I'm having negative thoughts and I don't know why I feel so anxious right now. And then you're like, wait a minute. This is a flashback. This is all mental stress.
No, it's true. I felt it last night. Like I was very happy Tuesday night because I made a whole chicken for the first time.
I'm sorry. Can I say a quick side note?
Yeah.
There is this scene in Hello Dolly, like the movie with Barbara Streisand, where she's like going to the Harmonia Gardens restaurant again for the first time since her husband's passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, order a whole chicken. Tell him Dolly's coming home. And it just, every time you say a whole chicken, I picture Barbara Streisand in her sparkly dress and she's like, get a whole chicken. And so
that's what I felt like yesterday. I felt like it.
Okay, I'm going to put that clip or that gif on your profile.
Oh, please do. Yeah, I got a whole chicken.
A whole chicken.
And I, I have recipes, which I need to figure out how to organize my Safari tabs on my phone, my iPhone. Because I've got
Can you organize them?
I don't know. I need to do research because I've got 30 recipe pages where I'm like, oh, I like that recipe. And so they're all just floating out there and I want a way to organize them.
Can't you save them?
I don't know. I got to figure it out because it's just like anytime I'm looking for stuff, because you know, whenever you see an ad on Instagram, what I do instead of just swiping up and then oh, I'm going to buy it, I'll open in Safari and then I'll be like, all right, wait a day. Then go back, do some research, and see where it's coming from. Is it legit? Is it going to take 3 months to get to your house before I buy it? And so I just have a lot of tabs open.
Yeah,
so
I have that's
all
not
the,
what I do.
I know. It's like I just buy it.
Yeah.
Well, I have all these recipes that I never really have the time for. And so I was like, well, I got nothing but time now. So I made the whole chicken. And so I was very, I got to get my cast iron skillet out. I got to rub the chicken breast down with some salt and some rub and some oil. I cut up potatoes and had it in the cast iron skillet and put the chicken in it and roasted it yesterday. And it was good. Was it good, Scott?
It was fantastic.
I felt like it was a little dry. It could be a little bit more flavorful.
No. That was good.
Oh.
That was good.
This is the man who eats one plain ass chicken breast. So you could throw a little salt on it, probably be real good.
No, I mean everyone else y'all finished, and I was like, is it rude to go up for seconds? I just went up, I filled my plate back up. I'm like, I'm eating it while it's here. So
yeah, I realize now that if I make a whole chicken, I gotta get two because it was going real fast.
Well, you got four men in the house.
Three.
Who's not?
Dylan's a vegetarian.
Oh, sorry.
Girl, that let me talk about that for a second. I have always, since we lived with Dylan, tried to not cater, but just be polite.
Yeah.
And, you know, on things that I know are going to be really carcassy smelling.
Meaty.
I try to be very. So we made hamburgers this past weekend.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It is. And so I was like, hey, we're making hamburgers. But the way I do it, it's not a lot of smoke in the house or it doesn't get super, super smelling. But at what did I? Oh, I think it was the burgers, because Scott, you like yours medium or something
medium rare.
Yeah. Medium rare, so gross. And so, but I put the four burgers on the plate with the paper towel. And for Scott's, you know, obviously the blood, it comes out with the grease. And so it was on the paper towel. I knew Dylan was coming down to heat up you know, or to just come down and say hi. And so I put the remaining burger in the paper towel that was like red. I put it in the microwave so he wouldn't see it. Like,
oh.
I try to be very cognizant of it. And of course, what is the first thing he does? He goes straight to the microwave. And I was like, Dylan, sorry. But anyway, but I feel like I make these meals that are just so good. But like, he's a vegetarian and he's just like, sorry, I eat the potatoes on the side. But anyway, so I felt really great yesterday after making this chicken that came out really well.
Yeah.
And then we watched an episode of The Ozarks. I was feeling good because it was like a really meaty, dramatic episode. And I was like, God, everyone should get an award for this show for their acting. And then I went to go film my Carol Baskin that we did our TikTok challenge. And I had a fun time with that, which
yeah.
you can find on the Miguel and Holly TikTok and Instagram. But as I was, like, trying to find something that was, like, animal print, I had this shirt that I bought back in the fall from Dillard's that was, like, on sale. And it's, like, a really cool, different type of shirt. But it was, like, one of those shirts that, like, you look good, but it's, like, I got about 5 more pounds or maybe just a weekend with not drinking and then it'll look great.
Yeah.
Girl, I put that bitch on yesterday. It looked like I had on Maya's garment from school.
Oh.
I was like, what the fuck happened? And like, and I've been weighing myself and like, I don't weigh any extra, but I guess my weight has like redistributed or something. I don't know, but I was like, fuck.
Redistributed.
I don't know what happened, but I was like, I look like I'm wearing a 6-year-old sweater.
Yeah, those are small.
So that sent me into a tailspin last night, like right before I went to bed. And I was like, well, you fat fuck. Shit.
Okay, well, you know what? Hold on. I
want fries.
Am right with you, though. And it's weird because ever since we started this job, like in 2015 when we started here, I was skinny.
Yeah.
And then I got even thinner. And it was like one of our old videographers that used to work here, Buck. We were like, he was like one of my first friends I made here. And like, but probably 3 to 4 months into working here, he was like, hey. He pulled me aside. He's like, are you okay? Because, I mean, you've always been thin that I've known, but, like, now you're real thin.
Oh.
So, like, this entire time, I just basically had to shut my mouth about any kind of weight thing because if I said anything, people would be like, oh, what did you do? You look great. How'd you drop the weight? I want to be like, depression. I went through divorce, and that causes weight loss. Hi.
Yeah. Hey.
But, and so I just was thin for a long time. Well, starting about, I think I really, it goes back to my, having my gallbladder removed last July, my body's different.
Right.
That fucking gallbladder, put it back in. Like, I only had one attack. I'm like, now I'm like, it wasn't so bad. I put it back. Shit. But now I'm like gaining weight. I probably have gained about 15 pounds-ish, 15-ish, since then. And it's enough to, now nothing fits.
Mm.
It's like, I'm up for sure a whole size.
Right.
So literally, I've been wearing my stretchy pants, like my yoga pants and dresses since like, you know, February. Then when this whole like quarantine thing happened, I was like, ain't nobody want to see me in jeans anyway.
Hey.
I don't have any that fit. No problem.
Nope.
So I'm just wearing like, you know, comfortable looking things. But I see it in the mirror and like when I'm sitting and Maya's on my lap and my belly is all like, bleh. I'm like, like, I don't hate myself, and that's the difference, I feel like, because I know that, like, bodies fluctuate. I'm not mad. I don't know what the word is. I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. I'm whatever this is.
Exasperated?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And so it's just a different body. I love it still because it lets me do things. Like I can still ride my bike and I just decided to skip down the hallway today at work. But like, it's just so frustrating and so exasperating when the clothes don't fit you. So
yeah.
I fully understand it. But if you can find any way to still like love yourself, because I know that you go into that hate spiral.
I do. I feel like I've gotten better about bringing myself out of it.
Mm.
But for some reason, just when I put on that damn shirt.
Maya's clothes. You put on Maya's school uniform.
Like, I really wish I had a picture of when I tried it on back in September. And I was like, ooh, girl, like, just a couple more weeks, you'll be down to this, honey. And then, like, I think then we literally, it was like the end of September and we went into October and it was like.
Holidays!
Yes! Halloween!
Eating season.
Yeah, oh, my favorite. Mm. And that is always the, like, the two forces in my head of, I know what to do. I know how to be healthy. I know how to lose weight. But especially right now when the world is turned upside down and you have no control over anything, I just, like, I have, like, my worst tendencies are coming or start. I can feel them, like, creeping up, like those voices of, like, you know what sounds good? Five Guys, French fries, a double cheeseburger, and if you're at it, get a hot dog with cheese and bacon on it, too. Oh, yeah.
God. Oh, goodness.
And just finish it off with a cupcake from Gigi's Cupcakes. Yeah. That's what the voice sounds like in my head. It's like Voldemort.
Oh.
Wow.
Him whispering in my head. Like, that's what it sounds like. So that's why when Abe finds my bags of McDonald's in my car sometimes, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Voldemort, got me!
Yeah, yeah, he got you.
He took over my body.
Well, know that I think probably a lot of people besides Scott are in the same boat.
Do you ever struggle with that, Scott?
With, like, I think...
The demons in your head about food?
Yes, but again, we all have different, like, pleasures and pain. And for me, my pleasure doesn't necessarily come in food. Like, that's not me. I do have other, like, you know, I guess what would be the word? Vices, I guess, in those moments. Like, right now, yes, I have been a little more... easily persuaded to have sweets. Sweet could be like, because when I don't go with something for a while and then I have that taste again, it takes me a little bit to pull myself back out. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm pulling myself back out from being all like, ooh, I need a cookie or I need a sweet. And all it takes is a couple days and then I'm back on track with like, okay, I don't need it because I balance out. Because for me, when you're just talking about that for like burgers and stuff, all I can feel, I have the pain reaction to it where I'm like, ugh, I just, my body feels gross. Like, even right now, I just feel, like, bloated and just kind of, like, bleh. And so when you said that, I'm like, ooh. So I associate that feeling with pain. But after, like, for me, like, my advice might be, like, working out, where I'm like, even though right now it's a little harder to get myself motivated to work out, I know as soon as I do it, I'm going to feel a lot better about myself, either mentally and physically, when I look in the mirror and I'm like, ah, I feel so much better. And it for me, that helps me and the stress levels and my capacity to be able to get myself out of these little holes. So I just have a different association with pain and pleasure for all these things.
No, I know. Girl. Well, that, when you said all that, like, it made me feel it made my face feel greasy. You know, like I felt like my pores were just oozing out oil. And no. I was like, I'm pretty good most days. Like, I try to eat. I'm not, like, super-duper healthy, but I try to cook at home. And if we have takeout, it's, like, something that's not terrible. But then what happens is nighttime. And I was never, ever, ever a nighttime snacker. But sometimes you have a little, like, a... something that... It just make you want to, like, have a little snack.
Just make a snack.
A little snack.
Right.
And that voice is new for me. I can't shut it off.
Right.
And so then I try to trick myself. And so my go-to snacks on the weekend, especially, because, like, that's usually, like, a weekend thing, are these crunchy garden peas that have seasoning dusted on them, freeze-dried strawberries, and then the treat of them all is Annie's Sour Bunnies, the gummies, the little sour bunny gummies, which are organic. So in my head, I'm like, I am snacking so healthy.
Yes.
Except when you eat half the bag of peas, and it's supposed to be like probably 10 servings in a bag.
Then
you eat the entire bag of strawberries, which is also like... But that's, like, if I just did the strawberries, it's, I think, 80 calories for, like, the whole bag. But I don't just do one bag. I just do
clearly,
that.
No.
And then the gummies where I'm, like, and it's just, like, I'm an eating machine. And it's so good. Like, it feels so satisfying. Oh, but then I wake up and I'm like, oh, God. And all those foods cause gas, by the way. Like, peas and the strawberries. I'll come in here and whatever. Over like Saturday morning, I'll be like, Mommy's just going to be in the bathroom for a little bit.
Let me tell you, I've been sort of a little out of control with my eating, which I'm devising a plan to, like, this weekend sort of slide into being more healthy. I'm not making any sort of, like, big ovations or any sort of big proclamations about I'm losing weight. It's just like, all right, let's just phase out of You know, I got 2 bags of potatoes that I'm going to cook at some point between now and then. And then after that, just don't buy any. Just start to, like, phase it out and do what you need to do. But with all the, like, extra carbs I've been eating lately, the amount of gas that is coming from my body, and then what makes it awkward is when I wake up in the morning to go to the bathroom, and in the master bathroom at Chateau Opera, obviously Abe is still sleeping, and when you turn the light on for the bathroom, because we have the commode and the shower in the same room, but the sink is out into the room, you can still hear it when the fan, when you turn the fan on. And so, like, I try everything to, like, make sure that if he happens to wake up when I go into the bathroom, he doesn't just hear it. But then it was, like, the other morning, it was, like, it just, there was, like, so much gas in me. And I was like, sorry, bitch. I mean, this is it.
I mean, so if you're quarantined with someone, you're finding out about all the things.
I just find it hilarious. Like, I used to love doing that in front of my girlfriend. I just find it so funny. And also,
oftentimes, straight guys do.
And yeah, but also at the same time, I got to a point because, like, my stomach, I just got stomach problems sometimes.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first started dating, or, like, even other relationships, like, I would hold it in, and, like, it would just be excruciating pain. I'm like, F this. We're going to get comfortable real quick because I'm just going to, if I got to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm sorry, but I'd rather that than be in pain.
Yeah.
Because I've done that before. I'm like, oh, I gotta just leave. And I'm like, F that. No, bye.
My whole life has been basically being in pain from gas. And because I would never, ever, 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 ever do it in front of anybody. I have a hard time even now still doing it in front of my person. But what I've realized is when it's just me and Maya, because her dad, my ex-husband, was the worst offender. I don't know about this family of his family, his genetics. They have a lot of gas. I don't know. I think it's genetic because this bitch would be tooting up everywhere. And now Maya does it, and he taught her that it's funny. So, like, he'll do it and say, safety, which I'm like, that's so fucking stupid. But now Maya does it, safety, and she'll toot on me, and she'll toot around me, and she thinks it's hilarious. So then I'd be like, just stop. Can you go away from me and do it? Like, I don't want you to hold it in because I remember the pain of holding it in. It does
not
hurt.
Good.
But now, so we'll be like sitting on the couch and I'll do it in front of her and she's like, mommy! And I'm like, sorry. And she's like, ha-ha, that's pretty funny though. So I'm like pretty open with her about it now because I want her to be okay with things. I'm like, just don't do it at school. Otherwise, you will be made fun of. And that's not fun.
Yeah.
And she's like, what I'll do at school is I'll wait till it's really loud in class and then I'll do it and walk away. I'm like,
amen, sister.
Go ahead. Get it done.
I mean, okay. So I'm trying to, like, wrap my brain around, am I a prude for not wanting to? So, because
it's not prude.
What is it?
It's, I think, shame and embarrassment.
But, like, I don't want to take a crap in front of you. Like,
no.
To me, like, and this is what I think is that, like, I don't want us, and okay, I'm thinking out loud here. Maybe it's because my smell sense is so strong that, like, if I smell your fart, like, even thinking about it, like, it repulses me. Ugh. And so, like, I don't want to smell the nasty gas from your body.
Mm.
And so I'm not going to do that for you because I don't want you to smell my gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I want to put out there in the world. So if I have to do it, I'm going to get up, go to the bathroom, do it. It's happened on the show sometimes where I'm like, oh, y'all, I got to walk outside.
Yeah.
And I walk outside, I do it. I walk around a couple of times and make sure it's not attached to your butt.
Yeah.
And then you come back inside.
Attached to your butt.
Because I feel like it's like it leaves a little trail.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you got to walk around, like, shake it off. And mm-hmm. so when you come back okay, in, you Taylor. Don't leave the trail, come inside.
Well, I mean, I think that it's like a politeness. It's like a societally polite thing. You
nice to do.
You don't want to do it, like, in someone's face.
Oh, absolutely.
Or whatever. And I also don't want to, you know, number two in front of it. Although, when you have a kid, all that goes out the window. Like, there is no privacy. Like, I'm like, mommy's in the bathroom. And then I hear feet. And she, like, jump on me. And I'm like, I can't poop while you're on my lap.
And you're literally using the bathroom. And
that's
she's
crazy.
Just
pooping. Pooping. And girls poop. Sorry. It took me a long time to actually, you know, talk about this.
Wait,
whatever. And she will literally come and just sit on me with her blankie and start sucking her thumb. And I'm like, Maya.
I can't.
Why?
I can't.
Can you? mommy needs a minute. And she's like, God, that bitch is so good at manipulation. She'd be like, I just wanted a hug. And I'm like, I will hug you when I'm done. And the bad thing is now that my mom does it too, like, she doesn't give any Fs. So it's just like, I'm very used to now people coming in and out. But like with a partner or with a significant other, yeah, I'm not, I don't really want to do that. Like,
yeah, no.
Door is closed, fan is on, although the fan in my bathroom is broken. So I keep matches. Matches do the trick, by the way. Keep a matchbook in there.
Oh, good. Okay.
Wait, so you just light the match?
Yeah. You get done, flush toilet, light a match. And this is what I do. I just light it and like wave it around lit. Like I'm like I'm blessing the place with the match.
Oh, man.
Blow it out and then run it underwater and throw it out and you're fine. Like the scent of the match and then like the match going out and leaving that smoke, it like eliminates it.
Yeah.
All
it
you
takes
just
it away.
Smell is the match.
Thankfully, we have a very powerful sucker in our fan in our bathroom.
Sucker.
So it just takes the nasty rank smell out.
Not me.
Well, see, this, I'm curious because we're talking about sort of manners, and I feel like I'm sometimes very, very rigid. I know we've talked about in the podcast about a year or so ago, about how I don't take jokes very well.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like laughing during the show today behind the scenes about how I'm not very fun.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, am I, like, what?
No, you just have your certain things, like your quirks.
Like, how am I perceived? Like, if someone were to ask you, how is Miguel, would you, like, what adjectives would you use? Like, moody, friendly, selfish. Giving,
never
sure.
Selfish, never what? Selfish. I mean, we talked a while, like a last week or so, about the Leo thing, where you're very giving, but when something is yours, it's fucking yours.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Yeah, true. So I think that you have your own moral code that you adhere to, and I think you run into trouble when other people that you're close to don't align with the same moral code because you have a hard time. That is one of those moments where it's your way because it's your strict moral code.
Right.
Which includes tooting in front of people, which your mom, by the way, would do.
Oh, absolutely.
No questions asked. Yeah. And even like with her, you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
So like you have a certain set of, it's like a code for yourself. And you don't really know how to be flexible in that way. In other ways that don't fall under, you know, your certain column of your code, you're like, I don't give a fuck.
No.
Do what you want to do. Be who you want to be.
Yeah.
It's like, but you do have a certain, which, again, maybe we all do. I don't know. I have to think about that some more. Maybe we all do, but yours is very specific.
Yeah, because I feel like I've been hearing a lot lately whenever I will do something that's sort of outside of what I would normally do, my friends or Abe will be like, oh, that's not something Miguel Fuller would normally do. And I'm like, what? Am I like this crazy strict person that always has to like do things a certain way? And if it's not, it's like, wow, Miguel, really? You're doing that? Okay, that's different.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that it has, it's there for a reason.
Yes. Yes.
Somewhere along the lines, and I'm going to say in the last 10 years since I've known you, probably since we've moved apart from each other, you took on these things I haven't thought this out. Again, I'm talking out loud too. I'm just like thinking I'm stream of conscious. I think you've sort of, ever since you got on your own and were able to have some freedom to do things exactly the way that you want to do them, you've set up those boundaries where it feels like safety to you or protection or... When you have a certain set of rules and a certain set of moral code, you feel more comfortable. Because I'm going to say, like, none of that Miguel Fuller existed when we lived together.
No.
It was there in little bits and pieces.
Right.
Like, you did have a few moral codes, like when I was going to offer to buy the pizzas for Teacher of the Week. And I told our boss, I was like, I mean, I guess I'll just buy them. And you were like, no! You will not buy those pizzas. I was like, oh, okay.
That was probably like one of the few times in my career that I like yelled at management.
Yes.
Where I was just like, no.
Yeah, you were not having any of it. But those moments were few and far between. Now I feel like those moments are more the norm, and it may have just been that's who you are, but you were never able to be that within the confines of how you were living because you've always either lived with someone or been under strict, like, monetary conditions or whatever the case may be. But when we moved apart and you finally became, like, the independent and
boss ass bitch.
Yeah.
Oh.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Those things were able to flourish. Does anything I said just make any damn sense?
No, absolutely. I mean, when you were talking through that, I was thinking about my upbringing and how a lot, and especially in the beginning, because my mom had me when she was 28. I was a product of rape. It happened to her. And my mom, I don't think, was ready for that responsibility of having two kids at that moment. She would be able to speak on it more. But I just remember a lot of times, like specifically being in elementary school before we moved to Denver. So I was probably like 5 or 6. And I remember my mom, and maybe she remembers it differently, but she would, I don't know where she was, but she would be out. And I'd stay with my grandmother, and there would be times where she wouldn't be able to, like, bring me clothes for the next day. So I'd have to wear clothes twice in, you know, 2 days in a row to school. And then, like, when we lived in Denver for 6 years and we moved back to Atlanta when I was 11, and we were living with my grandma, and it was just so up in the air. And even, like, when we moved from Denver to Atlanta, like, we went to go visit my grandmother because she had a stroke in 97. And we were like, we're going to go visit grandma. And then like 3 days later, they were like, oh, you're actually not going back to Denver. You're staying here. You moved. And so I feel like so much of my life was so out of my control. Oh, okay, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm such a control freak, because all of my childhood
was uncontrolled.
It was so out of my control. I mean, even in high school.
It wasn't even uncontrolled. It was that you didn't have a safe home base.
Right.
Like, you didn't have one grounding force that was, like, your grandmother was.
Right.
But even she, it was somewhere out of her control. Like, she couldn't just magic clothes for you.
Right. I mean, because all of my high school, except for my senior year, she lived in a retirement apartment where there was one bedroom.
Right.
And I slept on the pullout couch for freshman, sophomore, and junior year.
Right.
And then she bought the house that she was in up until recently, my senior of high school. And so I slept on the couch, high school, basically.
Yeah.
And so now that makes more sense of, as you talk through it, why I am this way is because I didn't have any of that.
Right. You didn't have safety. Like, it was very uncertain. Everything,
like, I didn't know where things, like, I remember there'd be times where, like, I didn't know. And I want to say this, too, because I know sometimes my mom listens to the podcast, and that I don't blame her. This was just a product of unfortunate circumstances.
Right.
And there's actually something I want to talk about. I want to get her blessing first, because it's dealing with COVID-19 and also, like, just, it's like so many issues wrapped into one that I want to talk about it, because it's so, there's so many layers to it. Oh,
could you try again?
Thank
no,
you.
Sure,
sorry.
Sorry.
But it all has to do with my mom. It's my mom's story. It's not my story to tell. It's her story. So I want to get her permission before I tell it, because we've lost a couple of people in my family one person from COVID-19. It wasn't someone I was close with. I've probably met a couple times in my life and I knew who they were, but the relationship they had with my mom was a little contentious. So stuff that happened to my mom in the past affected her as an adult, and she was going through her own stuff when she was raising me because she hadn't dealt with it. And so I felt like that's why things, and then just the circumstances of, like, my mom was doing really well. We lived in Denver, and then she went through this bout of depression, and that sort of just knocked her sea legs out from her. And then we moved to Atlanta with my grandmother having the stroke, and then my mom could never find the right career that she wanted. And so things were just so uncertain. Like, there were times where, like, I didn't know where I was going to get lunch money from, or, like, how I was going to pay for my locker, or I needed school supplies, where it was going to come from. I didn't know those things. And so now that you say that, it makes a lot of sense on why I'm so controlling and why things have to be a certain way for me now.
Right. Because it's not really about the, you know, whatever. It's not really about the cookie.
Right.
It's about what it represents.
Or you farting when we're eating or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly. And so it all goes back to that. And if I were you, I would get you some therapy.
And yes, I actually, and it's been sitting in my messenger, I asked my doctor, who is a homosexual.
Hey, homo doctor.
He's a known homosexual. Why do you look confused?
No, I'm just wondering, I'm like wondering where, like, is this important, why he's...
Oh, it is. It is. Well, I wanted a gay doctor, because some of the things that I go through as a gay man are different than what you go through, Scott. Mm-hmm. Butt sex. sexual health.
Yep.
That I wanted. And I wanted to be candid, because when we lived in Panama City, I had a doctor and she looked like your mom. Like, she looked like Margaret.
Oh, God.
And so, and this is when I was single. And so then to be like, well, I had a hookup with this guy, and, like, I just did not feel comfortable.
Yeah, you should feel comfortable.
And she had, like, a sweet Southern accent like this. And I'm not going to say her last name, but her first name was Joellen.
Oh.
And, like, she felt like it was my grandma.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to be like, well, girl, I had a threesome this weekend, honey. It was crazy, Joellen.
Yeah, no, that's
but
not working.
She was super sweet. Okay. But anyway, so my doctor is gay here in Tampa Bay.
Nice.
And so I wanted also a gay therapist to sort of like help me talk through issues from my childhood and just help me sort of understand the stuff that I'm going through now to be better in a relationship, so I can, you know, make sure that it's healthy and whatnot.
Yeah.
So no, it's true.
And so you can stop the cycle. Not saying you're going to have kids, but it is critically important, if you do have children, to break the cycle, because that's kind of what society has been up until this point. Everyone has trauma for some reason or another, and nobody realizes it, and they just keep doing things in an unhealthy way and passing shit along to their kids. Again, not on purpose.
Right.
Like, for example, your mom went through so much trauma in her life.
My God.
And she was doing the best that she could with what she had for you.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it was good for you.
Right.
And again, it's hard because not her fault, but it impacted you in a bad way.
Right.
And so then you grew up with these coping mechanisms that you've gotten through life with, but maybe they're not the best.
Yeah.
And so your trauma comes from the previous generation, the previous, because nobody ever talked about this shit before now.
No, God,
this was not a thing.
No.
Like, our parents didn't have therapy.
No.
You know who went to therapy? Crazy people in the loony bin.
Mm-hmm. Then they give you a lobotomy.
Right. But now we're realizing, oh, this is the utmost importance, your mental health, and it's still a battle that we're fighting. But so that's what I'm doing, because I didn't even realize I had my own shit because of my mom and the way she raised me. But she raised me because of the way that she went through shit.
Mm.
And so in order to break that cycle, you go and you do the hard work of, like, figuring your own stuff out. And so I think it would only serve you well to figure out, you know, and I think that's the basis of it. I think your lack of having, like, a really steady, secure, financially well family life has impacted how you run your own life now. And like I said, I don't think it blossomed until you could get on your own, because you were sort of at the mercy of other people for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
Me, Steven, whoever that was helping you, because, yes, you did it all on your own. But, I mean, I'm very glad that we were together, because we helped each other out.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Girl, I would have drowned if it weren't for you in my 20s. Jesus Christ.
And I you, because you provided that emotional support that I had nowhere else.
Mm.
Like, I would have died. Like, I don't know if I would have died, but I would have been very in a bad place.
Yeah.
So we needed that. And then when we got to our own places, you became the person... your own person, putting your little things in order and your placeholders and your rigid standards or whatever, your moral code. And then that was the person you became. And then I feel like mine at that point when you left, then I just deteriorated, because I wasn't by myself to do that.
Right.
I was in a marriage that wasn't right for me. Then I was pregnant. Then I had hormones. Then my mom moved down and I lost my fucking mind.
Oof.
So we all have these things that shape us into who we are. And when you get to a therapist that works for you, you'll figure out why and how you got to be where you are and then how to fix it.
Mm. This is what you have to look forward to,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, no, I see that. It's a lot. It's good.
I'm like, yeah, I can't wait for that
That's
shit.
Great. Love it. KS. That's fantastic.
Good times.
Oh, that's great.
You're going to be, 10 years from now, you're going to be doing your own podcast with your own crew, and you're going to be like, I lived with this gay man and all these other gay men, and it's,
I'm happy to live with a bunch of gay men. It's good experience.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah. I mean, you're well taken care of.
I know, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, I do say that I'm very grateful for where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And our neighborhood is very happy when you're working outside in the driveway.
I had to turn off whatever Insta Live or whatever. Like, he was on a bike and y'all were coming behind. I was like, nope, I'm just not going to watch this. I can't look at Scott that way.
He got the muscles, honey.
Bad
yes.
news for everybody.
We're working on it.
That's fine. I was like, I'm just going to. What? Were we watching Bubble Guppies? Put that back on.
What's so funny is there are some gay radio people around the country who, like, normally never respond to anything that I post on my social media. And I didn't even know they looked at my social media. And they'll be like, oh, that's Scott. Oh, look at him. And I'm like, you didn't think the last fucking 5 days of funny shit I put on mine was great? No.
No.
But Scott shirtless on the rower in my driveway.
They're coming in.
It's fine.
Coming in hot.
You're welcome, Scott.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
For the attention.
Oh,
yeah.
You're welcome, too.
I don't know. It's time to go.
All right.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on all platforms except for Facebook. Here's a little behind the scenes.
Yes.
I do have a Radio Holly on Facebook account. That's my personal one. And I'm not adding friends. I don't know you. If I don't know you in real life, I'm not adding you.
Yeah.
And I see you, man, that keeps taking your friend request away and then trying to add me again and then taking it away and then trying to add me again. Bitch, get the hint. I have a public fan page that doesn't, that shows less of my daughter.
Right.
It's Holly on Hot 101.5.
Girl, Scott's just open.
You can follow
him anywhere.
No, I mean, yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Facebook, I don't really. I do have, like, a radio account, but I don't even know how to find it myself, so I kind of just don't throw
what?
It
out.
Like, it is Scott Tavlin, but it's, like, I don't know, because I get friend requests, too, and I'm like, I don't know you, so I'm not going to add you on that. But if, like, you could follow me on anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we got, yeah.
Girl, yeah, I'm not adding people anymore.
I'm the town bicycle. My Facebook's been maxed out. I got everybody on there.
That's what I'm saying. I have a lot already, and then I see their stuff. Here's the problem with Facebook. It's, like, it's a two-way street, so if I add you as a friend, I'm going to see your post. And there's a couple people I was like, sure, I'll add. Then I was like, what
the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, WTF or ill or, and I'm just like, nope, unfriend. So I stopped doing that. Or I'll just get weird messages. And I'm like, I'm just not going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty
add
the
me.
Buddy.
I mean, you listen, my Instagram is open for business. Come on.
Yeah, put it in. Mine is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULER. That is everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you want to do, I am there. What?
I said get a ride.
Yeah, get a ride on this town bicycle. Make sure if you are listening on iTunes that you can rate and subscribe to it. Leave a review and we'll read it on the show. And we haven't gotten anybody wanting to be featured about being displaced because of COVID-19. Because we said, hey, if you have lost your job and you want to talk about your skills, maybe someone that listens can give you an opportunity, or we let you give out your Cash App, your Venmo, and nobody's biting. Hey, is it a bad idea? Do you not like it? We're just trying
maybe
to help.
Maybe it's a weird thing. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, if you are, we'll keep the opportunity out there for you, all right?
If not, that's okay.
Absolutely. Thank you to Corona Beer for making this happen, and you can find your beach, can't you, Holly?
Oh, absolutely. Find your beach, get you a lime, post up in the living room, and drink that Corona beer.
Yes, all right.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition, from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.